In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I was reading through our lessons this week, and our lesson from 1 Corinthians really stood out to me. Every once in a while when I'm reading Paul's letters, I think, you know, he's really on to something. I'm really with him. This is great. And then sometimes I read things and I'm like, no, this can't possibly be. We are no worse off if we do not eat and no better off if we do. I could not agree with something more. Food will not bring us close to God. Obviously, he and I are not eating at the same buffet. I have had a couple of meals I was pretty certain were going to take me straight there, but I like food. And when I read this, I think it's important for us all to have a little bit of the backstory here. Because quite frankly, on its face, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. What is this nonsense about food being offered to idols? Well, why don't you just go to the other supermarket? Seems like you can just go get food there and you not have to worry about it. Well, here's some of the backstory to this. In ancient Greece, and Corinth is part of ancient Greece, if meat were going to be sold, it came from the temple. The livestock would have been slaughtered in honor of Zeus or Aphrodite or somebody, okay, one of these gods. And then afterwards taken out and sold in the marketplace. So most cities in Greece actually had laws that said you couldn't keep livestock on your property. I mean, you could imagine a small walled-in city. Nobody needed a bunch of cattle, sheep or whatever roaming about in the city. So the inhabitants largely had to go and buy their meat that were sold in the marketplace brought from the temple. So the question then becomes, for some of the people, especially the new converts to Christianity, if I go and I eat that meat that had been sacrificed to idols, does that mean that I am condoning the practice and am I somehow acknowledging that these deities exist? And it was a major problem for them. Now, Corinthians, Paul writes to the church in Corinth because they have apparently wrote him a letter asking a lot of questions. And it's just an answer to a question one after another. And it gets to this, and it's all about, you know, what is it that we are doing that is a stumbling block for other people to come into the faith, or for new people who are in the faith? Paul's answer is, if it's a problem for new people, if it's a problem for these people who are coming in or people who are looking at the community from outside and they think that you're hypocrites, you should probably stop doing it or provide a pretty good explanation as to why. I think that that's very valid. Now, when we apply that to 21st century America, I think that we have a lot of options. We have a lot of things to look at here. Because if Paul's talking about what are we doing that's putting a stumbling block in the way for those who are new in the faith or those outside the faith looking in, what is it about Christianity that makes us look like hypocrites? Well, nobody wants to hear that long of a sermon today, so we're going to redux that down as best as possible. We have a lot of idols in our lives. I think that's fair to say for all of us. We all have a lot of idols, things that get in our way of relationship with God and with Jesus Christ. And for each of us, that list is probably a little different, okay? For some of us, the idols that we have that get in our way might be a career, might be our own desires for worldly gain. Honestly, one of the biggest stumbling blocks that I have is my love of sleep. I really like to go to sleep, and whenever the lights go out, I like to go to sleep. And sometimes I lay there in bed and I think to myself, do I really need to do my prayers this evening because I could pass out like this? Okay. I think that another stumbling block for ourselves is our own pride. We are Episcopalians, okay? And we are not necessarily people who are known for going out and being evangelical. We're not exactly known for standing up and shouting about our love for Jesus Christ, although we probably should. Those kinds of things are idols. We want our own time. We want our own careers. We want our own everything. We want to sleep more. We want to eat more. We want to do more. But it seems that somehow the do more part never includes going to church, praying, worshiping God. I think that those are stumbling blocks for people outside the faith looking in. I want you to think about it. Whenever you are talking to somebody about church, let's say you've broken through that barrier and you're talking to somebody about church, and they say, I can join you on Sunday. Like, oh, well, Sunday's my actually, I was going to sleep in that day. How about the next time? How important do you think that that person then thinks church is to you? Okay. What about the sporting event, you know? We're lucky the Super Bowl doesn't happen at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, because this place would be abandoned, okay? We could go through a laundry list of other dirty little secrets that we have about what people see us do and think, it doesn't really line up with what I know about Christianity. What do we put first in our lives? Do we put Jesus Christ first in our lives, and do we let people really earnestly know that? Or do we put other things? Do we put our career first in our lives? Do we put relationships with our friends first in our lives? Do we put, quite frankly, and this is the biggest one in America, the idea of America first? I mean, I'm patriotic, but let's get with the facts. Jesus Christ comes first in our lives. Then comes our country. That's an uncomfortable reality for a lot of people. But Jesus calls us to allegiance with God first and foremost. What are the idols that we put in our lives that impede our relationship with Jesus and by extension then impede other people's ability to see Jesus as so important to us? Paul calls this food thing out because it was important in their time. I think that we also have a responsibility to call out the things that impede that relationship in our lives. We need to take long, hard looks at what we do, how we do them, and how other people will perceive them. Because many times the only sermon people will hear about Jesus Christ is the one that you preach with your life and your actions. And if you don't show dedication, other people won't appreciate the love and devotion that you have to Jesus. I don't think any of us want to be a stumbling block to others to come into the faith and to have that relationship with Jesus. We just need to be really careful about what we're doing and how we do it. That's so important. Because people watch us. I think we all have friends that aren't Christians. Maybe we've had conversations with them about Christianity. I think that they watch us, and they're looking, and they're wondering what it is that makes Christianity so important to us. Do we live our lives in such a way that it reflects that Jesus is the center of our universe and that we're able to live our lives in love and charity and grace because of the fulfillment of all our hopes and dreams and desires and longings through Him? Or do we show up at church on Sunday morning because that's just part of our routine? And sometimes maybe not a very important one at that. I believe that all of us are called to a heavenly banquet. God wants this table prepared since the foundation of the world to be full of all of humanity. I believe that. I truly do. Our job is to issue invitations. Our job is to issue invitations to that. And we have to actually be sincere. And we have to act sincere all the time. And that's a tough call. And it's a goal. It's not what we we're able to do constantly, but it's our goal. And when we do that, that is food that we are better off with than we could ever be without. That is the food that will sustain us forever. I hope this week, my brothers and sisters, we all earnestly and sincerely and with respect issue that invitation to another person and then live like we mean it and know it. Can we do that? Let's try. Because that food has got to be fantastic. Amen.